Hey, Supernatural fans, we missed you last week, but we can't wait to discuss last week and this week's episode with you coming up right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What a great song to start with.
Such a good song. Yeah.
I'm so happy.
It reminds me a little bit of Ruth.
Yeah, but it's perfect.
But it's perfect for this episode. Since they were looking for some witches. There were some witches.
Oh man, I'm sorry if I'll be losing it when we talk about the second episode today.
Okay. Well, hey guys, we're here talking about Supernatural season 12, episode 19, The Future, and episode 20, Twigs, Twine, and Tasha Baines.
It's late.
It's 10 p.m. here on the West Coast.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk all about Supernatural. I am Lindsay Wegner. You guys can tweet me and find me on all things social media at Lindsay Wegner, which is LYNDSEYWEGNER. I'm back from New York. It was amazing. We've got Alexis back from her bachelorette party festivities.
Yes.
Alexis, where can everyone find you?
Hey, guys. You guys can find me all over the interwebs at ATORS890. That's ATORR. ES890.
And tell me what you felt. Do we want to talk about the episodes one at a time? Start with the first episode, like last week's episode, you guys all saw last week's episode.
Yeah, we can do a quick
I don't want to recap it.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about some major points that we talked about
Just run through it.
Let's impressions on last week's episode, which I watched on Tuesday.
I watched it today earlier, at work, which I was like, I shouldn't have done that. But it was a good moving forward episode. I have a lot of questions now, especially with Castiel. I didn't think that she was going to be gone this early in the season. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm okay with it because now, like I said, I have so many more questions about this protector and that Castiel's totally cool with having our Rosemary baby just totally alive and hopefully use all of its powers. I mean, I feel like, not to get too much into prediction territory, that clearly this baby is like, you know, brainwashing them to be like, yeah, everything's fine, let me use my powers kind of thing. But everything's kind of up in the air as their fate is being used. Not to be funny.
I had some really strange predictions as last week's episode went on, and then they kept changing because the episode kept shifting. And the more that we saw that Cass was looking at being this protector of this child, which we don't know is going to happen, then that completely threw a wrench in everything I was thinking.
Yeah.
So a big part about last week's episode was the fact that the boys know there is now a way to extract the grace from the Nephilim and turn it into just a regular old baby.
Yep.
And a regular old person.
Yep.
So they found a better way where they didn't have to kill somebody, even though Cass had already made plans with Joshua to maybe instill his place back in heaven by killing both Kelly and the baby.
Which I knew that wasn't going to happen. Like, sorry if I lose my voice halfway through. But I don't think that was good. Watching the episode, I was like, this is not going to end well. And it didn't, so.
Well, he goes to the bunker and steals the Colt. And Cass shooting a gun is kind of funny to watch.
Yeah, it's not a thing I can ever get used to.
No.
Sorry, guys.
So, I think the other crazy thing about, another crazy thing about last week's episode was seeing that Kelly actually was ready to sacrifice herself because she knew how bad this was getting and that she was going to die and that Dagon really didn't give a crap about her at all. So she tries to kill herself and the baby doesn't even let her die. So that's a whole nother like.
Yeah, point. But again, I don't know if that's a trick or if that's real.
There's these yellow flashing eyes.
I don't trust them.
Are freaking me out. So when they do eventually get a hold of, when Cass finally gets a hold of Kelly, Sam and Dean come to his rescue with baby because his truck is stopped. And I was like, you guys are so, Dean, really? You're going to give your keys to Cass? And like this, they're going to take the car. They're going to run with the car. Like they're on a mission right now to get to heaven. And that's what Cass wants to do. He wants to take Kelly and the baby to heaven, and therefore they can be protected. I don't know by whom, but they're going to be taken care of in heaven. And Kelly agrees to this. She's all for this. She ends up taking the car keys, taking the car. Cass tells her what the sandbox is. And Joshua's killed at the sandbox by Dagon. She's also killed whoever the other one, the other angel that was. Yeah, it's not Hazai. Hazai was another angel that was there, but it wasn't him. It was another one. Sam didn't find Cass. Sorry. Fixing Cass's truck. Sandbox 7. Joshua greets them. Dagon kills him. Got information from Kelvin.
There it is. Okay.
She's about to kill Cass when Sam shoots at her. She drops Cass, and Dean almost uses the Colt on her when she grabs the Colt, and she's like, ah, this is it. See you later.
As soon as she grabbed it, I was like, she's going to break that gun. Mm-hmm. And she did. And I was like, dear God, can Sam fix that? I don't know if he can fix that.
Yeah, and that's the question right now that we came into in this episode last week.
Yep.
And then Kelly goes to Cass, grabs his hand, and this is where his eyes flash the yellow, and we see a moment, like a flashback or flash forward for him, and Cass has been healed by the Nephilim.
Yep.
And then when Dagon goes to kill him, he stops her, grabs her wrist, and she goes up into flames.
Oh my God.
He's holding on to Kelly's hand. So the power's coming from the Nephilim, not from Cass himself,
yep.
Which is crazy. And then when Sam and Dean ask what happened, he says it was the Nephilim's power. He then heals Dean. Cass says the baby needs to be born with full power. He puts both Dean and Sam to sleep and walks away with Kelly. Kelly asks what he told her, and Cass says he showed him the future.
Yep. But people in the chat have been saying, like, Casket Fan 1 was like, Kelly did die for a few minutes and the baby brought her back. Clearly, I do agree what Dagon said, where it's like the baby was trying to save himself or itself. The fact that, you know, that's his vessel. I don't think he was ready to let that go. One, and that was also really hard for me to watch as a person who has depression. But at the same time, people think that also it might have given the kid, the baby might have given Cass his powers back. Maybe that's why he was able to do that. And also just, again, with the prediction of needing Cass as the protector, why not have an angel as a protector? Makes sense to me. You know, it's all powerful, especially if you can give full power to Cass. Like, that sounds like the perfect protector, better than Sam or Dean or anybody else.
Oh my gosh, it's the best protector you have.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about the baby getting orders from Lucifer? And this power coming from potentially Lucifer because he's the father. And somehow there's this bond, so Lucifer is able to slightly control the baby.
I mean, if that was the case, I don't know why he had Dagon in the first place, right?
Well, maybe the baby wasn't strong enough, and now as the baby's almost full term.
Oh, now
the, now the baby is strong enough on its own, and Lucifer, and it's like fully like
that makes sense.
It's a real baby now. It's not a fetus. Real like thing. What if Lucifer is able to somehow give instructions? And I don't know. This is just a thought.
Again, like I said, this one episode, last week's episode, raised so many different questions because it can go in any direction. Are they using Cass's protection, or is this baby actually figuring like, maybe I don't want to live a life as Lucifer's son. I want to do my own thing. I will use these people because I fell in love with them. I don't know. Or the fact that clearly this baby is trying to use them for its own gain when he becomes alive.
Will he be more powerful than Lucifer?
I hope so. I really do. I really do because I want it to be a thing where that Lucifer can't control his own kid.
I'm afraid that this is going to be kind of like Crowley raising Amara,
mm-hmm,
a little bit.
I don't want a repeat of that. Yeah.
So I feel like Cass has to raise the baby, but I feel like Cass and the baby are going to be off on their own, and the boys are going to be trying to chase the baby that's mm-hmm completing destruction and controlling Cass.
Yeah. I mean, I just...
How else can they start season 13?
Yes. Oh my God, I keep forgetting we have another season of just absolute awesome and craziness coming up. But yeah, that's rough. I do agree with you, though. I feel like that could be a thing. And hopefully that is the case. But, I mean, like I said, there is a weird part of me that's hoping that he is good and that he wants a change of heart. But at the same time, this is supernatural, so I can't trust it.
Could the baby be good?
I would like it to, just so it could be different, and then Lucifer would be upset and have because to fight his own son. Because it is an angel. True.
Born from an evil angel spawn, but that angel wasn't always... Lucifer wasn't always evil. Yeah.
Yeah, or not evil,
it got taught, like, you know, it, like, learned to be...
No, correct. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, Cass would be a good teacher, you know, needing a father figure. Even though I still can't picture Cass as a dad.
It gives him a chance that he didn't get with Claire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, that hurt. But, yeah. Oh, my God. Sorry, all the memories are flushing back, kind of like what Cass had to just go through dealing with seeing the future. Yeah, I think that would be, again, the benefit of the doubt. I would love that. I would absolutely love that this kid was like, nah, I want a good life. I don't want to follow your footsteps. But again, this is supernatural.
It can't be like that.
Sometimes it just can't. Because anytime we try to get a good moment, especially from this next episode when we get into it, it just doesn't happen in the world of supernatural. It just doesn't. You know what I mean? But again, the writers have always fooled me, so we'll see.
They do a good job of keeping us on our toes, don't they?
Yeah, but no, this episode is just a giant question mark for me because I don't know what to do with that.
Okay, well, we'll get into predictions at the end of the show for both episodes, since it's a little bit of a different plot point.
Yes.
Continuing on into episode 20, which was Twigs and Twine and Tasha Baines. I said it right this time.
Yeah, nice.
And Colt is gone. Cass has killed Dagon. Nephilim needs to be born. Mr. Ketch has killed Mick. He wants to know everything about Sam and Dean, and witches are hunters. So this is our little...
Our preview was long this time.
It's episode 20, so there are only three more episodes left.
Insane.
We've got to figure out what's happening with Mary and Ketch, what the British Men of Letters are going to do with Sam and Dean, how Lucifer and Crowley are going to, who's got the power there, the baby being born or not being born by the end of the season.
Question mark.
Whether, you know, Ruth is coming back, Rowena is coming back. I mean, there's a lot.
So much.
Or if we're going to see Garth before the end of a season. Or
I mean, we did get a picture of him this time.
Yeah, so there's a lot. There's a lot going on, you guys. And this episode takes us to Rock River, Wyoming, where Tasha Baines has come to stay at a B&B, and she's hunting a witch. And the kids...
hella rude, by the way. The witch.
The witch?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got to get her aura cleansed for sure.
Yeah, no, for real.
She's looking through his house. She knows that something's up. She asks it to reveal itself, which leads her to the cellar where she's actually killed.
Sucks.
Did you think she was dead or did you think she was still good? She was going to be alive?
I couldn't tell because clearly she was injured, but I was just sitting there going, are we going to use her later? Or is that like, was that just it? Because, you know, usually in Supernatural, anytime we have not a filler episode, but of a Monster of a Week episode, when we see a death in the beginning, sometimes it's either like possession or like their body's just being used, which it kind of was like that in this one, or they're just dead. So I was kind of like, I don't know what just happened. I can't tell if she's just injured or if she's dead until we saw her later. And I was like, nope. Nope, there's something here. You're a miss. You're not real. You're dead.
I was like, she's dead. Yeah. She gone bye-bye.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It looked like a big enough blow.
I was like, okay, she's dead. We're starting off with the death.
I was trying to be positive, and I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. So Sam and Dean, back in the bunker. The baby's not born, and it's already controlling other people, which is really interesting to think about, like I said. It wasn't doing that before, but now it's gaining power. And we're hoping they can fix the cult.
I don't even know where to start with that.
But there's got to be another way that they can kill the Nephilim, and there has to be other ways they can kill Lucifer and all these other things. So there's always another way.
Yeah, I'll get into it maybe a little bit later.
there's a phone buzzing. It's Alicia Baines calling, who's Tasha's daughter. She says her mom was hunting a witch, but she's disappeared. Her brother Max isn't worried at all. The boys decide to take on the case since Jody has put out a like APB on Cass over the like three following states just to keep an eye on. And Dean's calling Mary to kind of find out what's going on. And it looks like she's being locked up by Mr. Ketch, but it's actually a shapeshifter who's taken the form of Mary.
I was so worried. I was like, no.
What? And then I saw her walk by, and I'm like, what? What kind of magic and witchcraft is going on here now? And he's torturing her with these, like, thick nails. And so he says, if he tells Mr. Ketch where the family is, the torture will stop. The shapeshifter says that Mr. Ketch's eye twitches when he lies, and the shifter shapes into Mr. Ketch. And obviously, this doesn't end well for the shapeshifter. It gets killed without revealing any information about where the rest of his family is. And Mary's pissed off because she's seen this torture go on for too long. And this happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And he always says, you know what? The ends justify the means. But she says that's not the case at this time around. And Mary notices that Mick's emails have stopped and Mick isn't answering his phone. And she's also noticing that Mr. Ketch is actually enjoying the torture part of it all.
I don't know why she was surprised.
Why haven't you seen this? Blinder vision.
Mary, stop. I mean, I know that was a one-time deal, but I'm like, clearly you weren't paying attention.
Well, and he's like all like trying to be suave and get it in. And she's like, that was literally a one-time thing.
Girl, stop. That's talking to Mr. Ketch, by the way. I was like, girl, stop.
That or it wasn't good.
Yeah. Either she was like,
All I can think about is him sitting in the bed, like, leaning back against the pillow.
And just looking like, all kinds
of... The sheets all, like, over him, and I'm like, I can't.
But in the back of Mary's mind, she's like, okay, you can put that away. That wasn't that great. Back to work, guys.
Gross.
Oh, God, it was so funny.
Okay. So...
I enjoyed it.
Anyway, Sam and Dean meet up with Alicia and Max in Wyoming, and Max is a natural witch. Alicia's actually not. She didn't get the powers. Dean points out when they go to the car, but they need the witch bullets. And they arrive at the B&B, and Tasha's car is there, so all seems like they're not trying to hide anything.
Yep.
And when they go inside, Tasha greets them.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, no, something's not right.
Nope.
Right?
Nope. I was like, there's something fishy going on, and that's definitely not your mom.
And she's like, well, let's just go to my room and have some wine. And Dean's like, wine?
I love that they put that in there. He's just like...
And he's sitting here holding the glass.
Like this.
But I saw him go... He was smelling the wine. He drank it. He was like thinking, can you get drunk off of wine?
I've seen it. I've seen it. Been there.
Game nights. Friday night at my house.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of people getting drunk on wine.
Just need a few more glasses, Dean. You'll get there.
They had one bottle for five people, so
yeah, that's
going to be a little hard that way.
Oh, yeah, no. You don't know how to party, guys.
I usually plan a bottle a person when I'm having a bottle
same.
Of wine a person. Not same. A bottle of liquor, but yeah, a bottle of wine same. A person.
Both for my family.
When Tasha opens the wine, though, something happens, and she, like, breaks her finger and then cracks it back into place. And it was not like, broken in, like, a, you know, like, where you jam your finger and you just pull it out. No, this was, like,
I was like
finger,
she had,
like,
she had to
my, like, pinky finger. Do you see that?
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
It's very slight.
It's very
guys,
subtle.
I broke my pinky finger, I think, when I was little, and it's, like, all, like, it's not, like, a weird finger.
No,
but it's, like,
no,
a
no,
bit,
but you
it's
can...
It's shorter than the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah,
like,
you can tell.
Different because I must have cracked the knuckle and broke it when I was little and never
yeah watching her it. Try to fix her finger I was like oh, gross it's kind of like when if the Rock he or Dwayne Johnson if you don't know him by the Rock for whatever reason if you are under a rock he has a finger that is permanently that's like broken or dislocated and he can like pop it in and out and it's just it was just as bent as that and I was just like
weird.
Why but yeah but as soon as she put It took, like, what, two or three movements to get her finger back into place? I was like, yeah, you ain't human.
Something's going on
Something's
here.
Wrong with
just
you.
I was wondering, was this a whole episode about shapeshifters? What were they trying to do
I thought
here?
She was a zombie. Like, yeah. The fact that maybe she was still in her own body, but they patched her up in some way or hid the smell. I don't know. I just, the captions when you're watching it kind of ruin it for you because it says, like, twigs snapping. And I was like... What the hell does that mean? You know, after rewatching it, I was like, I don't know what that means. And then I figured it out.
Figured it out, yeah.
But I was like, that's some weird sound captions.
Sam goes to pick up some vegan dinner for everybody. And he's found a flyer of the man who was actually leaving the cellar when they first arrived at the B&B.
He's creepy.
This guy's been missing for a month. And in a room down the hall, there's a woman creating a stick figure.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Tash and the kids are chatting, and Max is getting ready to go on a date and leaves the ladies alone. When you saw the stick figure, did you think Wicker Man?
I think a little bit, yeah.
I was like, Wicker Man, what's going on here?
A little bit creepy.
And then we jump back to Mary and Mr. Ketch. Mary's kind of walking around their bunker, their home space.
Yeah.
And she hears Mr. Ketch talking about an important box and number. So she remembers the number, and Mr. Ketch is making himself, you know, a home, making himself comfortable in Mick's office. And when Mary goes into the office and says, well, this is usually where I check my email, she sees there's actually a message, an email from Mick saying that he's in London for another couple of weeks. Shady, considering just earlier she had told Mr. Ketch that she hadn't spoken to him and he wasn't replying to anything, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he sends her an email. Mary calls Dean, says that she's been on a hunt with Ketch, and she's sorry for not being there for him and Sam, but needs to finish this and she'll come back. She misses and loves them.
Yep.
Which is where this where it gets good. Mary breaks into, it looks like a weapon type room.
Yeah.
But in here, she finds a box labeled with the number that Mr. Ketch says. And inside is Mick.
I knew exactly what that box was.
I did not. I didn't.
It was too big for it to be like a weapon. But at the same time, the way it was shaped and the fact that it was like a black, like a thick box. Because clearly if you have a dead body in there, you have to hide the smell, depending on how long it's been
sealed
in there.
Sealed box, yeah. Mm,
it was a very high-tech looking box. I was like, crap, Mick's going to be in there. So when she opened it, she goes, oh, Mick. I was like, yep, there it is.
There we go. Thank you. Okay, yeah. So now we know can somebody knows. We know something happened here. And so she leaves the room. She's kind of been denied access to all. She doesn't have any access to these other rooms, but this guy comes out of a room. So she goes in there, and inside, it's basically like a control center with Garth's name, Claire's name, Eileen herself, Sam and Dean, and all their info and whereabouts, where they're from, where they currently are. I noticed Claire said in transit. So, I mean, they literally have trackers on all
of
them.
Are these the only American hunters that we know of so far, or these are just the only ones that they're keeping track of?
I think these are the only ones they're keeping track of because they're spending the most time with them. And Mick and Claire were together, and we know Garth is out there. And this is where it gets good because Mary calls Dean, and Mr. Ketch comes in the room, and Mary asks about Mick, and Mr. Ketch says it was a werewolf, and she's like, it was shot in the head. Come on here.
Yeah, like what I'm not stupid. About? Especially in the back of the head, too, please.
And this is where we see her and we see some badass.
That fight scene was great.
That was choreographed amazingly. Fight coordinator and stunt coordinator. Fantastic job. Great job to the stunt doubles.
Oh, yeah, you could totally tell, too, which is fine.
And to Ketch and to Mary, the actors that play them, because it looked really fun. Mary gets to beat up Mr. Ketch.
Yeah, especially with those brass knuckles.
Throw some mean punches, and that's where it got really good. She broke his arm before she even used the brass knuckles. She broke his arm.
That was great.
It was so cool to see. Mr. Ketch says he's been cleaning up after Sam and Dean for months. He says they're sloppy. The American Hunter's time has passed. It's over for them. And he says if Mary plays nice, he'll keep her around. And
of course.
He hits her a few times, and then she pulls out some Enochian brass knuckles. And she gets them right in the groin and the face. And she goes, yeah, but they're still brass knuckles.
Yeah, I thought it was so dumb. Like, it was so out of character for me when Ketch was like, those are only used on angels and demons or whatever the hell you want to call it. And then she hit him, and it looked like it hurt because they're brass knuckles. And she's like, brass knuckles are brass knuckles. I'm like, for someone who's a weapons assassin expert, brass knuckles are brass knuckles. Yeah. Like, how did you think that that wasn't going to hurt you?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
And someone made a comment in the chat, which I had written down too. Richard Spite Jr. had directed this episode.
Nice.
So the trickster.
So, which he always has really good episodes.
He always has really good episodes.
Also, he has the
episodes.
Best tearjerker episodes, which I'm like, stop it. don't stop because the episodes are great, but stop it. Stop.
He brings some good emotion in. You are right.
Oh,
and somebody's saying, like, Mary really, like, she beat Mr. Ketch.
Yeah, it was great.
If it wasn't for the flipping taser.
Because he was cheating.
Cheater.
He was a cheater because he's a coward.
Cheater. I have my email pulled up, you guys, to email him to come in next week. So fingers crossed. You guys keep tweeting him, telling him to guess to come into
AfterBuzz. Do it.
Next week, hopefully.
Yes.
So he tasers her, and that's the end of that, and then we fade out. And let's go back to Sam and Dean, who go to a cellar, they unlock the door. It smells like death in there, just like clearly we saw. Tasha noticed when she first went in, and they discover the bodies of everyone at the B&B, including Tasha, whose heart has been ripped out.
So sad.
And Max walks in and sees Tasha and breaks down.
Yeah.
Here you are the whole time thinking that, you know, you never were worried about, he was never worried about his mom.
Not like at all.
He never was. Alicia was worried. He wasn't.
Yeah.
And then when they reunite with her, it's like, see, nothing was wrong. It was totally fine. Yeah. Tasha was early.
And he's about to go on a date, too. Yeah. He wasn't even thinking about
it. And then discovers this and realizes that she's, you know, something's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam and Dean get into the room, and Max pushes Tasha up against the wall. And he gets her to reveal that the witch is in the room at the end of the hall. And Max throws the creepy guy that's been missing for a month out the window.
Yep.
As Tasha falls to the ground. So now, like, their, like, bones are, like, kind of, like,
so gross.
Breaking. Your twigs are breaking.
Yeah.
And they get into the witch's room, and she throws Dean immediately away from her down. And so, basically, she's this witch. And maybe Max will take a deal that Tasha wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Sam's fighting off fake Andy.
Yeah.
And we find out the witch has sold her soul for power so that when she passes, which is soon, and her soul will go to hell unless she can find someone to take her burden, which is AKA magic.
Yep.
She offered Tasha the power, but Tasha was rude, so she turned her into one of her creatures.
That scene was really hard for me to watch because it sucked. You know what I mean? Like, so, and the fact that both Dean and Max had to relive it, like, that was too much. I mean, like, again, I liked it for what the plot was and how you were supposed to show that Tasha was such a strong character, but watching that was just really tough. But again, great direction and...
And
it just hurt,
to see that Tasha wasn't gonna, like, she wasn't gonna take this witch's deal.
No, and I'm really glad she didn't.
Me too, but we find out that this doll or creature that this witch has created has all of Tasha's memories. So technically, it's literally like Tasha
just
being
without
there.
A soul.
Without a soul,
yeah.
Which
we've seen what happens when that happens.
Clearly,
happens.
See what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
So if Max kills the witch, all the creatures will fall apart. And so the deal is that if Max takes her power, her burden, her doll, aka Tasha, then they can all stay together forever. And so Dean is getting choked by Andy, or Sam is getting choked by Andy. So Alicia hits Andy off of Sam. And when she turns back around, soulless Tasha, not her mother, stabs her in the stomach.
Oh, God. I was like, I didn't think that she was going to die. I really didn't
and
think that was going to be the case.
Can you imagine Alicia thinking, my mom just stabbed me?
What? I mean, I understood. I think this is me being nitpicky, but I feel like I understand where Alicia's coming from, but she can't get over the fact that her mom could be this evil thing.
But she didn't know she was evil.
Well, not evil, but the fact that the way that she was... No, okay, yeah, you're right. You're
she
fine.
Didn't.
That's
but
fine. I will
she didn't
retort.
Know at the time.
I will take that comment back.
Because Max had seen the body. She hadn't seen the body yet. She doesn't... And no one explained anything to her. They just come rushing, barreling into the room.
Yeah, especially when they said, that's not your mom. And, like, that's pretty much all they said. They didn't explain why she wasn't her mom. Okay, fine. I'll let that go. I'm a little upset with the boys. They should have had time to say that, but obviously we were rushed for time. But, yeah, that was just... it just sucked because I didn't want her to die knowing that her mom was a thing, like a thing. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted her to know the truth. But at the same time.
Exactly.
And it just this whole entire episode was just really rough. But at the same time, again, it was such a good episode. Like, I can't.
It's a strong episode because it leaves you wondering what the heck's going to go on. Because the witch tells Max to take the ring and the deal is done. And that's when Dean shoots the witch. So he ends up making the decision.
Mm-hmm.
That Tasha decided no.
Yeah.
And Max was conflicted with this.
Which makes
sense.
Keeping
his mom around.
Yeah, because she still feels like the same person. She's just not made out of, you know, she's not real.
Exactly. And all the creatures turn to dust and they're gone. And Dean and Max run to Sam and Alicia, who literally dies right there.
Oh, my God.
And this is where it was like,
wow, I cried so much.
I was like, teary. I really didn't expect her to die.
I didn't think that she was going to die. I was hoping that, like, Max could find some sort of spell to, like, heal the wound. Or because of the fact that Alicia didn't say that she had powers, I was hoping that maybe these would, like, awaken her powers and she'd be fine. But clearly that was me being positive.
This just creates a whole nother layer because of what happens here.
Oh, God.
So we're all sad and bummed about Alicia dying.
Yeah.
And then finding out that their mother was killed, and this was just like a creature thing in her.
Mm-hmm.
So Max is obviously in shock, and, you know, it's going to pass, but it's going to hurt for a long time.
Of course, and I like that they were honest about that, that, like, that is what happens when you go through loss. But this is obviously an extreme case, because you lost your sister and your mother in one sitting.
But this is where my questions came into play and why I questioned right after what he said, because he goes, he could have saved them if he had taken Alicia seriously. Could have saved both her and his mom.
But again,
so you, I already knew, okay, he's going to make some sort of deal here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's because the fact that they brought up in our then and now in the beginning, the fact that they brought up demons and crossroads, I knew that wasn't just for the sake of, like, we're going to have to deal with a demon. Like, clearly there's going to be a deal made, and it's, this is what's going to happen. And we technically got it at the end, and again, I was not surprised.
Once again, still don't know the cosmic consequences of Cass killing Billy, which I'm sure we're going to find out at some point, but we still don't know what that is.
Yep.
So now, obviously the boys say that they have to burn the body. He has to burn the bodies.
Yep. Which they should have done with Mick, BT dubs, just saying.
But Max says he can and should do it on his own, the same thing he did for his dad, asks them to leave, and this is where I go,
Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have left him alone.
No, absolutely.
I want
you, like, leave a kid on his own after the only two people left in his life have been killed in the same, like, day.
I mean, again, I get why they left, because they're like, you know, there's not much we can do. He's clearly not going to take us up on our offer. Whatever.
No.
I think that they should have just drove a little bit, parked, and, like, watched from afar to see what he did. And then we could have prevented it. But then, clearly, for plot reasons, that we wouldn't have what happened.
Yeah. So, what happens is, Sam and Dean are driving. Sam says that Dean did the right thing by killing the witch. And, meanwhile, Max grabs Alicia's body, a knife, and the ring.
Yep.
Casts a spell. Alicia comes to life as her little wicker creature. And taking the ring with him and the witch's book, he burns Alicia's leftover body, and
I think the entire hotel, I think, or bed and breakfast.
I don't know if the bed and breakfast is going up in flames, but it started with the room, so it's very possible that it is. And now we know he's got the creature with him. He's got the burden of the magic, so he's going to have that.
Or he might give it to Alicia.
I don't think he can, because she's a creature. I don't know. And now, but so are they going to be coming for his soul? Does he have a lifetime now, like the witch did, where she just has to pass this on to somebody else? I mean, why'd she call it a burden? Why is it a burden?
Clearly.
Why is magic a burden?
Yeah. Clearly there's something. I mean, I don't know if that lady was just like that because she was just like that, or if there was actually grave consequences that come with this magic.
But
I don't know.
Dean listens to the voice notes from Mary. He knows something's wrong. So he's like, we need to go find Mom.
Right.
And then we see the same thing we saw in the first scene with Mr. Ketch.
Except
Mary.
That he's a little bit more dapper
he's,
for this torture. Did you notice that? That he was wearing... Because, like, in the first one with our shapeshifter, he was kind of wearing, like, what? Wasn't he wearing, like, a... I think he was still wearing a suit, but I couldn't remember what kind of suit it was. But this one, he had, like, a blue and orange matching tie with a little pocket square. And I was like, what are you going to, Easter Sunday? Like, I don't understand what you're doing here with this suit.
Putting his best on for her.
Sunday best to torture splashes, the love of his life.
Splashes Mary with water, and we know this is going to either become the beginning of the torture or whatever.
Oh, did you see this next part coming, though?
And Ketch says he gave Mary a chance, but she didn't take it, and then in walks Tony.
Oh, you guys.
What?
I'm okay that Tony's back, but at the same time, I'm like, really do not want this son of a bee back in our lives, because she's a terrible person. I mean, Ketch is also a terrible person, but, like, these two, especially because they used to date, can't do it, y'all. It's too much. It's too much for me.
This, I mean...
This can't be good.
The other chick with Tony's gone, though, right? The one that was doing all the torturing?
Yes, I think she's gone.
So maybe this is Tony just trying to find out
details. We have a level up from that girl that she was with. We have Ketch now.
Do you think Ketch is going to be able to hurt?
Yeah. Her? Yes. Yes. I totally think it's going to happen. I hope
it's going to be tough for him and that he can't do it.
No, he says
he loves her.
No, I think he's going to be like, I love torturing you is what's going to happen. And it's just going to suck because he's going to get, the fact that he already got adrenaline from torturing a regular person, can you imagine? Come on.
But they did it.
That makes it worse, I feel.
What if he's catching feelings?
No, he's catching.
What if Ketch is catching feelings?
He's going to be catching feelings of torturing poor Mary, and it's going to be disgusting. That's all I'm going to say.
I hope it's hard for him, and I hope that he... That was really... I hope it's hard for him.
No. I knew what you meant. Like, it's going to be terrible for him, and that it's difficult, and that hopefully that he will have some sort of conscience growing. But I don't know. With Tori there, Tony there, I don't trust it. I feel like she can manipulate him because of the fact that they've dated also. Also, talk about a love triangle up in that place, right? Yeah, because
they've dated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So her son, Mr. Ketch's son, son she left in London, is that Mr. Ketch's son?
Ah, gross! I can't.
Guys, it's getting weird. It's getting weird up in Miss Joint.
Gross.
So those were the last two episodes. I can't believe we got all that done in like 40 minutes, guys. Good job.
No, we did it. Because we're awesome.
Thank you guys for chatting with us. Okay, so let's talk about some predictions.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, my major one that I think that could happen, if he can't put
creepiest
the cult...
love triangle yet.
No, yes, seriously. If they can't put the cult back together, let's just say that like it won't work the same.
Okay.
Can they melt it down and make it into like a knife, like a dagger or something, and still have the same powers?
I like that idea. I think that's great.
I don't know who they would stab for it, but you know what I mean. Like the Nephilim.
Be able to use it for something else.
That's not a gun. Let's just say, like, if they took the bullets and the gun, melted it all together, and made it into, like, a knife or something, possibly. Could they do it? Or if they find a different gun and make the gold into, like, because remember they brought up the rocket launcher? If they make, like, a giant bomb out of the cult material and all the bullets... Is that possible to do that, to blow it up? I mean, I don't also want to blow up this baby and or Kelly. Is that her name? I don't want that. That's just, I just found it awkward that Max brought up the rocket launcher.
But
or grenade launcher.
Grenade launcher.
You know? So I don't know. I just feel like that was too important to pretend like we're not going to bring that back up again. One. Two. I don't know. I feel like we're using that metal for something.
I feel like there's always another way, so there's got to be another thing. Like, they've discovered things even in this last...
Arrow dipped.
Even found in this last season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, new pieces of...
Something.
Weaponry that can be used.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's always a way for something, because what would the British Men of Letters do? They would have something to kill them. So there's got to be something that they can do, and now maybe they'll have access to that.
Make brass knuckles out of it?
I'm thinking, what if they can fix the gun also with the help of Rowena?
True.
So you use Max's mechanical ability and Dean's ability, like working with his hands too, to fix it, but then use magic to put it back. I don't know how that works, but.
Candace H. in the chat says, remember the gun Ruby gave them wasn't original. There were two cults. So maybe this is the fake one? I don't know, guys. I don't even remember what happened with all that. I would have to look that up again and rewatch those episodes because I don't remember.
But this gun, the only thing the gun has shot was Remy. This one. We've only seen the gun shoot Remy, right?
Yeah, so and it worked. Hasn't,
and it worked, but I mean, but any gun's going to kill a human. True. So it didn't need to be the Colt. So this could be,
that's actually a very good part. Nice job, Candace.
We do see when Sam says at the end of the episode, for the preview, he admits that there's hunters, there's going to be deaths. We see a solemn Mary. Is Eileen at the bunker with them? A shootout between Dean and Ketch? Crowley and Lucifer are back?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it's going to be fun.
What did we...
I think that was everything, no?
That's everything. But I think what I'm most nervous about is who this protector of the Nephilim is going to be. That's right. What's really scaring me. Who's going to take the place? And is Kelly going to survive the birth of the child?
True.
Is it going to be possible for her to do that? And Sam and Dean are all about wanting to take the Grace from it, but Crowley or Cass says that's not possible. So is it going to be Cass against the boys? Are we going to showdown between them?
No, I mean, it could be a showdown between the boys and Cass, possibly. That could be a thing, which would be very interesting to see Cass at his full potential fighting the boys. That could be one thing. Yeah, I don't know. And also that is the burning question of, like, is Kelly going to make it? You know, even though she thinks that this baby's going to protect her because it protected her in the tub. But I feel like he was only protecting her so that he can have a safe travels through birth, if that makes sense.
And if the baby is bad when it's born, does it have the power to speak kind of like how Dagon and Lucifer were communicating telepathically slightly? Yep. Is the baby going to have that power? That's why I'm thinking the baby already has the power from Lucifer. And mm-hmm. that's what's, like, telling it what to do.
No, correct. And the fact that it can think on its own.
Is it going to be able to do that to somehow try and take over Hell and overthrow Crowley?
I mean, I don't know. Or, like I said, it could be a good Nephilim or whatever you want to call it. And he tries to take over. Or he just wants to get rid of it. So he's trying to be birthed. I don't even know the word for that. But to find his father and kill him or get rid of him or take over or something. But in a good light. You know?
Like, I mean, that would be the positive side of it, but it's supernatural.
Yeah, I just, again, I don't trust it. I mean, again, if it happens, I won't be mad at it. I'll be like, hey, round of applause for supernatural writers. That's awesome. But at the same time, I don't think we've ever had that kind of ending before.
No, I mean, if supernatural is to end, which we know it's not ending this season, we know we've at least got one more season.
Mm-hmm.
If supernatural were to end, I would like it to end on a happy note.
Oh, interesting. We're getting very interesting predictions in here. We have Inugami 78. He goes, I think Chuck and Amara gave the Nephilim the vision and showed it to Cass and Kelly.
I love that.
I'm okay with that.
I'm 100% okay with that.
Which, again, would make sense to a point of the fact that it's being bred in a new light with the fact of just it not being evil by actually protecting its vessel and finding a protector, which would be an angel.
Do you think we get to see Chuck and Amara at all this season or no?
Completely, I don't know. I feel like maybe because they were so heavily used last season that maybe they might take a break. I mean, I don't know. Because I know that the actor who plays Chuck is doing that whole, you know, TV show about the actor himself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he has time to do that. But it'd be kind of nice.
Pretty sure he's probably in a contract.
I would assume so. So you never know. He could be. He could come back just for, like, the finale episode.
I would love to see what's going on, but that would also be a great question.
Yeah.
If this baby's born and says something about Amara and Chuck, and then season 13 starts with Chuck, Amara, Lucifer, and the baby.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Or, like, if Chuck and Amara came to pick up the baby.
Yeah.
Now that it's been delivered, and it's just like, thank you for doing that. You can now go
to
heaven.
Now we're the protectors of it.
Yeah, so it's like, Kelly, thank you for doing your job. You can go to heaven and be peaceful. Cass, we need to work on you. And then, yeah, bye, guys. And Lucifer's upset and is like, you took my baby, no.
And then there's a fight between Lucifer and Amara and Chuck to try and get the baby back.
Yep. Or just Lucifer being upset and taking it out on the boys. I have no idea.
Guys, there's a lot of predictions.
There's just, like I said, these episodes opened up a bunch of questions. I don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. 100% agree with you, Alexis, that these episodes really opened up even more thoughts and stuff than we thought could be happening. I mean, we knew the baby was going to be killing Kelly. So at that point, that was already happening. It didn't matter. And Dagon was probably going to take it over. And we know it was going to get up to Lucifer or whatever. And be taught
some way, shape, and form. But
now that's changed. Yeah. And Dagon killed way before I thought she was, like you said. And there's so many thoughts, and there's only 3 episodes left.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a really good last 3 episodes now that we're just, like, deep in plot now.
Next week, we'll get the Crowley and Lucifer. We're going to get the Mary Ketch. We're going to get Sam and Dean. We're going to get Tony with Mary and Ketch.
Yes.
And Cass, hopefully, and Kelly maybe see a little bit of them unless they stay off the grid this next episode and come back the last 2.
Yeah.
But things have to get started getting tied up right now. So.
Yep, I agree.
And you're not going to be here next week.
No, I'm sadly going to be working at night, but I will definitely watch the episode and I'll try to chime in as much as I can from where I'm at.
And I'm going to see if we can try and get David, who plays Mr. Ketch.
Guys, tweet at him.
Tweet at him and say he needs to join me at AfterBuzz, please.
Yes, 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 yes.
I'm sending him an email tonight, so to remind him, because he messaged me, I think I told you guys a couple weeks ago, and was like,
"You did.
Do you still want me on your show after I killed Mick?" And I was like, "I'm really mad at you right now, but yes.
But I need it, though.
I need to know why you did this, and I need to pick your brain." So, all right, you guys, until next week. Alexis, where can everyone find you?
Hey, guys. You guys can find me all over the interwebs at atores890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. I'm doing a bunch of shows here on AfterBuzz TV. Go ahead and check them out. Also, I'm going to be on a new podcast that's coming out next month called TrendPunk.com, where I'll be talking about really terrible movies and possibly an adult podcast called Batteries Not Included.
That sounds awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay.
Yay.
Hey, guys. This is Lindsay here. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER. Or my blog, lindsaywegner.blogspot.com. Thanks so much for joining us tonight and allowing us to have our little mini vacations last week. I had a great time.
Me too.
We'll talk about it all. Feel free to tweet me and tweet Alexis. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.